everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand with Derek Engler and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Tarek Saleh. Here's Alex Gravatt.
ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. We are celebrating Luke Fickell's second three-game win streak in his time here at Wisconsin. Now, guys, I gotta come clean about something. During the Badger game, I was in a cave underground in Cave of the Mounds.
Why wouldn't you be, right?
Exactly.
That's where everybody goes, right?
So I was checking out, see what was good there. I need to know. What, I see the stats. I saw the highlights. But what was the story of the game? How much more confident are we feeling after this one? Coach, we'll start with you.
Well, this is a game that you, as a coach, you want to see. As a fan, you want to see. Because from the beginning of that game to, I mean, we took over that game and controlled that game. Both sides of the ball, kicking, the whole thing. We took over the game. There was never any question who the better team was, and we just kept the hammer down and played that way.
Yeah, we persevered, you know, and we, even if you threw an interception, it wasn't like a catastrophic. Like, you know, we were in control. We could run the ball at will. If we didn't make a pass completion, it wasn't because, I mean, the guy was open. So, I mean, there were all these opportunities. They probably could have scored double the amount of points. But they were never was a threat that Northwestern was going to, in my mind, going to win the game.
Yeah, I think we, you know, Tarek, we didn't get away from the game plan, which I truly believe was just to, you know, be very consistent with the run. I think we were almost 2-1 or close to it, rushing attempts versus passing attempts, which, of course, being a former offensive lineman against Northwestern, I love to see.
His face. You know,
but it was really good to see that we didn't get too cute, you know, because I felt like in the bigger games against Bama and USC, there were some down and distances where I thought we probably got a little creative, where we could have our offensive line is playing really, really well, and they played well against a Bama and a USC front, and quite honestly, I felt USC coming out in that second half, and I've said it, if we would have stayed consistent to the run, we would have dominated up front, and we would have leveraged that lead at half.
I think our coaches are getting more confident in running the football. When you can run the ball consistently, you throw as a changeup. You throw play action, makes it much easier for your quarterback, much easier for everyone. Once you're running it, don't try to get cute. Don't try to get cute. Keep running, pound the ball. Every once in a while, pull it out, throw one down the field, the little dunkers. You can throw the ball some, but don't get away from what's feeding that offense right now.
And you look back at what Coach Longo did the year prior at North Carolina. He was 50-50 run to pass. Yeah. As much as they say air raid, yeah, they're going to get some bigger opportunities down the field. But you still run the ball, and he still does it, and he'd tell you that, you know, and he's doing it.
I really like this horse now. This running back's a good player.
Yeah,
he runs hard, and he ran hard, you know, in front of a high school crowd, and you can see it. Like, he's got some want to in him.
And the Duprees, all right, Duprees, yeah. A nice change up there. Yeah. He's a young kid coming
both
along.
Both those backs. They Absolutely. Stick it in there. They're hard runners, and I like what I see running the football. You can do when you can run the football, you can manage the clock, you can shorten the game. You dictate when you can run the football.
And you got an effort guy, like a relentless guy like Iacomelli. I like that stable. I like that stable.
They had a nice play. That little flip to him running in. That absolutely. Was a nice. That was a good play.
844-770-3776. It's your end of the show. We want you to ask your questions as the Badgers prepare to take on the third team in the country, the third highest seeded team in the country right now, Penn State. Now, what have the Badgers shown over this three-game win streak that has built confidence heading into a big game like this for you, Coach?
Well, I think the thing that I like, they're solid on both sides of the ball. They're not lopsided. They're not a one-sided, one-dimensional team. They're not just good offensively and hang on because their defense isn't any good. Their defense is really good. Their offense has really come along. They can run it. They can throw it. Kicking game's good. So I just think we're a well-balanced team, and you better be well-balanced to be able to beat us. So I don't care who we play. I don't care who you look at anybody in the country. I don't care who we play. We should be able to walk on the field and compete with them and have a chance to win it.
And, Alex, I talked about progress. That was my word to describe these last three games. And you know, the defense has really made strides. I mean, they're tackling really, really well.
I agree with that.
And they get a collective group, and you look at the stats. There's guys you don't even recognize their names. They're getting three or four tackles. They're stopping guys. They're not letting it, breaking tackles type thing. We're getting after them. We could clean a little bit up in terms of contain, but that's always my little pet peeve. But overall,
well, that's one of my pet peeves too.
Yeah.
And well, go figure.
It's your fault.
You do not lose contain. Wife yells at watching the game. They lost contain.
It's a deadly sin in all our households because Coach. Yeah. It was non-negotiable. We are going to contain the ball now.
All our kids
better.
Know about not losing contain, G-Man.
Yeah.
You understand? G, do you understand what that means?
Yeah, well, I imagine you keep a linebacker outside or a corner outside and force them back inside.
You keep the ball inside. It never gets outside of you.
Outside leg and arm free.
Outside arm and leg free with everybody on the defense.
See, at one play, I saw two guys lose contain. So first the linebacker lost contain, then the corner loses contain. Then the safety's got to run them down and put them out of bounds. Now, they've done a lot of great things, but they just need to clean that up. But when you have two losses of contain, that's it. You're done.
It's hard. You know, it's defensively to be able to coach that, fundamentally just strong and always be disciplined in that approach is very difficult. I mean, we see it today, in the National Football League where they just let them, they got freakish athletes now. But,
athletes make up for, shortcomings.
And they just want to get after the quarterback.
Exactly.
They don't care if you go inside, outside.
Exactly.
You beat the, whether it's a tackle.
Exactly.
Or a tight end, you beat him, whether you lose contain or not. Get pressure on the quarterback.
So you guys mentioned that the defenses look good, that this is a balanced team. I'm curious, over this three-game win streak, what has improved more from the beginning of the season? The Badgers' offense or the Badgers' defense? Only giving up one touchdown
in
the last three
games.
There's
no question in my mind, it's defense.
It's defense.
Yeah, no question in my mind. Very, very frustrating to watch. Western Michigan and South Dakota and just undisciplined defense. And we're talking about contain, but we're talking about, just gap discipline. And we didn't have it in those games. We did not have it, obviously, in the second half against USC. I just think the defense has come. I think offensively we're coming within ourselves. To Coach's point earlier, I think the coaching staff on offense is understanding where this offensive front is at and that we can really beat some people up front in the run game.
I like how our offensive line has improved. We talked about a year ago, we'd watch spring practice, we'd watch fall practice, we'd watch early in camp. There was always penetration. Then there was no penetration this when we watched camp this year. Now we're seeing everyone covered up on defense and movement.
Coach, tell me this. Like, Coach could listen to practice, blindfold him, right? Blindfold him. Yeah. And, Coach, what do you recognize just by what you hear?
You can hear whether they're hitting or not, whether they're physical or not. You can hear a pop when the ball is snapped. If there's a pop at the line of scrimmage, or you hear thud, you know, little like cotton on cotton.
Yeah, and Coach, I went to the first spring ball game, that's the first thing Coach noticed. He goes, they are physical. They're bringing it. And he goes, I don't even have to look at it. I could hear it. And it's just a difference this year in the physicality on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's refreshing.
Coach, was Tarek a popper or a thudder?
He would thud you. No, he couldn't. He couldn't move. He could thud you in a box. If he could stay in a box, there's nobody better. He would thud you all day. He'd blow you up. Now, when you got to move around a little bit, there was a problem there. And if I pass coverage, forget about it.
Phone booth. So if I get in a fight, I got to be in the phone booth. I can't get outside.
Have you guys seen that? They have phone booth boxing. It's like a British television show, and they just put two guys in a phone booth, and you beat each other senseless for a minute.
Tarek could be good at that.
Yeah?
that's the worst thing you can say to a guy, you know, because there's nowhere to go.
Can't move.
Yeah. I stayed off the ground.
All right.
Put me in a phone booth. I'm punching myself. Nobody else is fitting in there.
I wish I'd have said that.
All right. Roll it back in really quick. Before we get to Penn State, which I want to get to on the other side, which of these three wins, and that's the Great Dane poll question, which you can get on Twitter, at ESPN Madison, which of the three wins impressed you the most? Purdue, Rutgers, or this last one against Northwestern? Coach?
I'd say I really thought we'd have a battle at Rutgers. I thought that was going to be a street fight. I know their coach. I know how they play. I know their teams. I thought that would really be a battle, and we'd have a hard time. We'd really have a hard time with them. And we just went up and handled them, you know. So
you know, I was with you, Coach. You know, but Northwestern coming off a real big win against Maryland, who just beat USC, obviously, this weekend, and going to, you know, a high school stadium, really, and coming out with just a decisive victory, and it wasn't pretty, but we stuck to our guns. Like I said, we ran the ball 46 times, and you know, 4.7 I think a carry, something like that. And you know, we don't like losing the turnover battle. We've harped on that before. That's pretty much the one criticism in the game against Northwestern, that you know, we don't want to do that, because you can't do that against a Penn State, can't do that against an Oregon. We have to win that turnover differential in those games, and we'll be right there if we play like we're playing.
I'd go Rutgers just because you're on the road. Shiano's, you know, he's kind of new to the league. He's wound up, ready to go, and the fact that we came out there and played like we did was awesome. But again, festival seating on Lake Michigan, you know, it's a trap. And we've been
there,
victims
they overlooked that. The atmosphere. It's like going. I mean, it's a bad high school stadium. To go to that type of atmosphere, and not, it doesn't affect you. Just go play. You're on the grass. The field's the same. Let's go play. Let's play these guys in front of us.
I don't know where you went to high school. 12,000.
You see him on social media?
The dance.
Well, he jumped in the lake. He went from the stadium and jumped in the lake. Did you see that?
No.
It's great. Wisconsin strength coach. He's a beaut, Coach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Takes the plunge in Lake Michigan after win, which, I mean, hey, why not? You're right there.
Is that Brady?
Yeah.
Brady
did
it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
He's climbing down the rocks, and then you see him dive in between the rocks, and there's waves coming in.
Are the players all watching him?
Oh, yeah. Players were all watching
him. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They've worked so hard, right? And they have all these competitive drills, and they do all the stuff in the weight room, and we're all, like, waiting for this all to come together.
So he told them, if you do this, I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You ever wager with your guys like that, Coach?
Yeah, probably. Not to that extent.
All right.
That's Coach Barry Alvarez.
There was more of a reward for us in those wagers.
What do you mean?
Meaning if we got the job done, what he was asking for us to do, and to, you know, trust the process of what we did all week, and we'll come out with a victory. You know, Coach was phenomenal at always rewarding us, whether it's, I mean, bowl trips come to mind, number one.
You get to eat. You get to have a meal. If we lose, we get starved.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh!
Hey, now.
You get to eat. You get to eat. That's it.
Hamburger, T-bone.
We got to burn the ships, man. We have no choice but to win. We can't do that today, though.
I mean, all of a sudden, the train table at Union South became catering in right to the McLean. It was great. We were winning.
We had tornado room coming in. It was great. Otherwise, it was like dog food.
This is the Great Dane Huddle, driven by Janesville Kia, located right off Interstate 90. It's only minutes away from Madison. They treat people how they'd like to be treated, and that's why they're up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference at Janesville Kia and told their friends, come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia. We have to get to Penn State. Penn State's coming up next. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. I've got one stat that I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that I think the Badgers can take into this Penn State game. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Coach Barry Alvarez and Badger legends Tarek Salah, Derek Engler. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. The Badgers have been dominating the time of possession. It has been 32-51, 34-56, and 31-47 through the three-game stretch over Rutgers, Penn State, and most recently Northwestern. What does that do for the psyche of a team to just have the ball more often? How does that build for success? And can you bring that into a team that is historically, or not historically, but currently speaking, a more physical dominant team, Coach?
Well, I think the coaches, I'm sure, are pointing that out. The defensive guys love it because their stats really stay really good because they're watching from the side. And when they have to play, they're rested. They're rested and they're ready to go. And the offensive guys, they want to build a rhythm. Derek would tell you this. An offensive line, an offensive quarterback, the offensive team wants to build a rhythm. And when you're running the ball consistently and you're moving the chains, there's nothing like that. The team knows what you're going to do, and you just do it, you know, right, you know, just stick it right in their face. And there's nothing more to build your confidence than to be able to do that.
Okay, I've got a quick question. You mentioned the pounding the rock, the consistent first downs, just move those chains again and again. Maybe I'm a little young here, but I don't know when or where first and 10 Wisconsin came from. Was that around when you guys started? It was the announcer?
It was the announcer started saying it, and then the crowd followed in.
And around what time was that?
Well, I think it started probably in
92.
This guy's
they were doing it.
92.
He's been
or maybe 91.
He's been an announcer forever, right? He's the same guy.
I don't know.
You got to look that up.
I don't know.
I'm on.
Look that up. But that started with our announcer doing a good job and bringing the whole crowd into it. And he would say it with such enthusiasm, then pretty soon – everybody was saying it or lipping it, you know.
I will tell you, and I know there's probably offensive linemen and units way after me, there is a really good feeling when you hear that and you're in the huddle and you're looking across and you're seeing defensive linemen that are just beat. They're just beat. They're beat. You know it. You see it in their face. You see it in their eyes. You just move the chains three times in a row.
You know, it sounds trite. Get a first down. But that's what you're grinding for. You're not going for a touchdown. People don't understand. It's not a touchdown every play. It's to hang on to the ball, but get a first down. Reset. Get another first down. Eventually you score. But it's it's trite, but that is so important.
Coach, I got to look up trite here in the dictionary.
not tripe.
But I got you. But, you know, I'm just messing with you. But anyways, here's the deal. The defense doesn't know where the offense is going, right? So the offense knows where they're going, and you're trying to chase them down and all this stuff. You get tired faster. So if the offense just stays on the field, we get the rest as the Badger defense, and the offense just gets fed.
And their offense is stressed.
Yep.
Because when they go back out on the field,
they're cold.
They have to make something happen. They've been standing around watching
exactly.
for a while.
Okay, Mike Mankey is the announcer in the stadium for the Wisconsin Badgers. But this is the Great Dane Huddle. I'm Alex Grout alongside Coach Barry Alvarez, Tarek Sella, Derek Engler. And I'm curious, over the last three games, what have the Badgers proven to you that gives you confidence that they're going to go in and beat Penn State this weekend? Coach?
I think they're a complete team. I think they have shown they play all facets of the game well. They haven't shown a weakness. They can compete with anyone. You know, we slipped a little bit early, but I think we're much better than we were earlier in the season. Our coaches have done a good job of improving our players, and I think they've built a confidence. But I just like the way we're playing, and I like the totality of the team.
I think I can't wait to watch this offensive front, this offensive line. In my opinion, their biggest test is what's coming Saturday night. And I'm talking on both up front on the you know, defensive linemen, but also linebackers. You know, we're gonna have to bring our A game, but if they can protect this quarterback, I really like the way this quarterback's got some moxie for a redshirt freshman. And I mean, I know he got some experience, obviously, when Tanner Mordecai went down last year, but I like the way he takes some chances. But you know what? We've also protected him, so that needs to stay the same.
Yeah,
because we haven't seen him really under duress.
Well, I'll tell you what, I look at the good things we did against Alabama, the good things against USC, right? And those are legit. We know Alabama's a legit team, even though they faltered a little bit. But both these teams, USC took Penn State down to the wire.
Yeah.
Okay? We were right there. We have gotten so much better over the last three games. We're right there, right at a point, a tipping point where we could become a much better team in this week.
I will say one thing that can really help us. Our fans have to get involved. This is a game. They're coming into our house, 80-plus thousand. They could be a factor in the game. I was listening to an interview the other day, and one of the players said, we couldn't hear the audibles. The crowd was so loud. I can't remember which game it was. But that could happen Saturday. And if our fans do the job, they could really be a factor in this game.
G-Man, Coach was phenomenal at doing this before our big games and getting our fans. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, guys?
Nope.
I mean,
you're not wrong. Nope.
Oh my God, he would get them just geared up all week, and it would be a situation like Michigan, where Gerbach stepping away. If I remember, it was Gerbach.
Yeah,
stepping away and trying to tell the refs.
No,
it was
Harbaugh. It was Jim Harbaugh.
No.
Not when you played, but no. Harbaugh did it before that.
But Gerbach stepping away, saying,
I take it back. That was when I was in Iowa.
Okay, Coach. Anyway, I mean, it was one of those things where you're looking at him, and he's trying to complain to the ref, and the ref's going like this, pointing right back at the line of scrimmage.
Well, Coach, it's a 7 p.m. game, right, fair statement? And
homecoming.
Hey, we're going to get jazzed up. We're going to get a nice – you know, layer on.
They'll be oiled up.
Well, yeah,
ready to go.
Ready to go. It's gonna be an unbelievable atmosphere. I mean, you look what Oregon did to Ohio State, right? Now you could argue, you know, Ohio State might be better, but you know what? They put an atmosphere together there we could do the same thing here.
If
we could ambush them.
If the student section was full for Western Michigan opening week, which it was, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. You guarantee. You're asked that it's going to happen Saturday night.
I'm going to share a story with you about Oregon. So remember when we went out there and played?
Yeah.
Somebody said to me,
yeah,
it'll be the loudest stadium you've ever played in. I said, wait a minute. They seat like 50,000. I said, we've played in 100,000. Now, how could it be louder than Michigan or at Iowa where it's on top of you? Well, we're playing, and it was really loud. And I start looking around. A lot of people weren't even clapping. They weren't making any noise. I'm looking around. Then I walk over to a speaker. They're blaring noise, crowd noise out of their speakers. That's why it was so damn loud.
Oh, man.
They are creative there.
That, yeah, creativity at its finest. Maybe not okay. I'm not entirely sure.
No, it's not okay.
So here's my question before we go to break, because we have to get to Grand Theft Auto, I guess. We'll talk about that in a minute. But is Penn State legit?
Oh yeah. They're a very good team.
They're very good. I hear that. They're currently ranked the third team in the country. Are they that good?
Well,
it's college football. Well,
look at the landscape. Yeah.
Have you, the landscape. There is parity across the board. Bama got beat by Georgia. Look how they're
Vanderbilt.
Doing.
Changes every week. That's why, you know what, that's what's interesting with it.
I meant Georgia There's, got beat
there,
by
Bama. There are no consistencies. Up to this point, they're the third best team. They're ranked the third best team in the country. I don't know what team's going to show up for them, and I don't know who's going
Everybody
to show
had
up for
Texas
us.
Number one, right? I think they did.
Texas or Ohio State. And then they finally
let's put it this way. They have really good players. They always do. And they'll be coached well. James Franklin is an excellent coach. We have to take advantage of our fans, home stadium, and our guys have to get after it.
So we got to get more out of the home stadium. And you can get more for your pour at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. It's a Madison original, brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now every Monday through Thursday from 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy a 20-ounce pint of their flagship beer for only $3. From Crop Circle Wheat, Good Dog IPA, to the... Join us right now in the Hilldale area and enjoy a much bigger and better happy hour at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. But I mentioned it earlier, we are about to get to Grand Theft Auto. That after this. Somebody pour me a drink. Somebody pour me a smoke. I'm about to get on a buzz. I'm about to get on a roll. Yeah, I've been breaking my back. Just keeping up with the Joneses. Y'all know what I mean. And y'all know how it goes. When it's up on a Friday night, hey, sliding over my I can't even think when I can hear them calling my name. Hey, somebody pour me a drink. Pour me a drink. Grand Theft Auto and Headphone Hot Potato. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Coach Barry Alvarez, Derek and Tarek together. Sometimes there's just microphone swapping going around. And Dave Nissenbaum, who is the owner of Pro Physical Therapy and also a former Badger athletic training teammate.
I was a student athletic trainer.
Okay, so when Tarek and Derek first showed up, were you like thinking these guys don't have it? Are you responsible for their athletic dominance? What's going on here?
No, I'm not responsible for any of that. I had my own problems being a student athletic trainer. So, no, I was involved in helping get these guys ready for practice for taping and taking care of any injuries that helping them take care of any injuries that they had.
Fantastic.
So no, I was on and
off the field, right?
On and off. Yes,
make
on and
sure
off the field. Exactly.
Penicillin was going strong.
Yeah, right. It worked great.
Sorry. Just kidding. Everyone relax.
Oh, all my right. God. That's how we started off here, right. David.
Oh, my God. Off to a
wild
start.
I want to welcome you to the show. I love you.
So,
thank you, guys. This is awesome.
I mean, and Dave, because I see you every week, you know, obviously, broken down joints, so on and so forth, and I'm very fortunate to have you here in the community, as are very many former Badgers, because I see them in there across all sports. You know, what made you... You know, after you graduated from University of Wisconsin, after that, I mean, I talked about this off air, and Coach and Tarek know this, how special that training staff was, too, and we needed you. What made you decide to stay here?
So I actually left, and I went to a grad school. I was a grad assistant athletic trainer in Northern Colorado, and then I really wanted to do athletic training, so I was a head trainer at a small Division III college in Southern Illinois, Blackburn College, which was a blast. And then I left there, went back to physical therapy school, and came back to PT school here, where I met my wife and decided to raise a family and stay.
Well, that's fantastic.
Like the rest of us.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, and Madison's a great place to raise a family, great place to live.
Like Coach says, it's quality of life.
It is. It's
every
amazing.
Head coach that evaluates this job needs to evaluate that.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, I teased it beforehand. You gotta pay this off. Grand Theft Auto. Right, you stole Coach's car? Is that what I remember hearing?
No.
I understand. I drove the biggest Cadillac in town.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The biggest Cadillac. Aaron's Cadillac used to give me a Cadillac to drive, and they'd give me the biggest one in town. It's like advertising. And they'd write on the side, you know, in my handwriting, I'd put Coach Barry Alvarez, and they'd say, owned by Barry Alvarez. And then they would use that to sell it after I drove it for a year, and then they'd move it. But then you can tell the story.
Yeah. So it was during training camp at we were at Holy Name Seminary, and we were practiced, but we practiced one day, we decided to go to Camp Randall. It was a Sunday. And so I don't ask questions. We just do what we're supposed to do. So we got everything, get over there, and Coach says to me, "Will you hold my car keys?" Because he didn't have pockets. So I had a fanny pack. All the athletic trainers had fanny packs. We'd keep tape and scissors and everything. And so I've got Coach's keys. So we practice. We go through everything at practice. And I want to get out of there because we want to get out of there and get back before everyone gets back. We want to eat and to take a nap because we get up so early. So I'm, 20-something years old. So we get back in the station wagon, and it's like four of us, and we're driving back. And halfway back, I'm looking at my fanny pack. I don't know why. And I see Coach's keys, and I am freaking out. So then we had a turnaround.
Shortest student trainer career ever.
Right. So we turn around and go back to Camp Randall, and there's nobody there. So now I'm really freaking out. These guys are like, "Oh, you are dead." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So we turn around and go back to seminary, and our head athletic trainer, Denny Helwig, I see him. He's eating lunch. And he says to me, "Coach Alvarez wants to see you." And I'm like, oh, I am dead. So I go to Coach's room, and he's watching film, and I'm trying to – this is like a kid going to their parent and like, "Oh, I know I'm in trouble." So I go, "Hi, Coach." And he just turned around, looked at me, and said, "You are lucky my wife was here to drive me back." And so I said, "Do you want me to go get your car?" He said, "Yeah." So now I got to go back to Camp Randall. We don't need anything. We go back to Camp Randall. And they drop me off. And Coach's Cadillac is sitting there. So I get in the car, and I'm thinking, "Oh, God, I'm not moving the seat. I'm not moving the mirror. I'm not doing anything." So, and I'm 5'4", and Coach is 6 feet. So I get in this car, and I'm like, "God," and I've never driven a Cadillac before. I'm like, "This is awesome." I get in there, and I'm backing out, and I'm trying to look in the mirror and trying to look around. And so I'm not moving this. Coach sits back really far. I'm trying to sit up. I'm driving this thing. It was awesome.
You were low riding without even trying.
You were low riding, Coach's low riding style.
I could barely see over the top. So we get in there, and and then we had a good laugh about it. Thank God. It was Coach was great about it.
So, Coach, you ride low. You lean back.
I do. I lean a little. Now I drive an Escalade, so I sit up higher. But when I had my Cadillacs, I did. I put the seat back. I'd low ride. I'd lean a little.
Yeah. I can appreciate that for sure.
A little Bergenstown lean.
Bergenstown lean.
All right. So, Dave, you were part of the team that went to the Rose Bowl. Is that correct?
I was.
And you went with the team?
Yep.
How was the environment that week? Is the guys were all getting ready? Were you with them preparing, or were you scampering off around L.A.?
No, we're at
– Yeah, no.
These guys work.
They are there.
These guys work now.
They, yeah.
So we practice at Citrus College. So we got out there. We went out there and got everything ready. We're there. We tape the guys there. We're getting ready for practice. We're at practice, and then we take care of them after. No, we're together 24/7. So it was one of the greatest experiences ever. So 2 days before the team got there, the managers and I, one of the other athletic trainers, flew out there before, and they picked us up in a Rose Bowl car. We get there, we have a big buffet. It was you get to our room, there's a little chocolates written that said "Welcome to the Rose Bowl."
Wow,
it was awesome. And then we go through the week, and there's all these events during the week, and the Rose Bowl Dinner of Champions, and you go to Disneyland, and we get in line first.
And, you know what? As I'm listening to Dave, and I've heard a lot of these stories, but I'm just listening to them right now, and it just is getting me, you know, little hairs in the back of my neck are standing up, because it was not only about the players, the staff. It was everyone. It truly was. And that's how you build a championship team.
And families.
Families, too.
It was all the coaches, all the trainers, everyone associated with the team, and their families and kids were rewarded. That's what I liked about it. It rewarded everyone. They went to Disneyland. They did Knott's Berry Farms. They did everything that we could do, we did.
It was amazing. And the best was on game day. You know, you get out there, and just like Coach described, just it was so beautiful. And Coach, your speech that game was one of the greatest speeches ever. I'm sure you remember, but you were pacing around, walking around, and you said, "How do you like how Camp Randall's painted today?" And it was because there was like 70,000 Wisconsin fans. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like a sea of red. It was. You remember that? That was
UCLA's home state.
That was pretty. Yeah. You know what? I walked out just before the game, just before I went up to talk to the players, and the stadium was filling up, and I could see it was there. The UCLA section had about half of it was red. And our people bought up all the seats, I called it Camp Randall West. The stadium was red. I have a picture of it in my office at home.
And Coach, you made it our home because you wouldn't give up the locker room.
Well,
right?
Is that correct? Yeah, that's correct.
That's awesome.
So
this is a Big Ten's turn.
Well, we had the home lot. We were the home team, and. UCLA coach said, you know, that's our locker room. Why don't you just let it – is it okay if we just stay there and you take the visitor's locker? I said, hell no. We're the home team. You get your shit out of here.
Dump.
Get your stuff out of here.
I love it.
Get your stuff out of here. We'll just keep this locker room.
That's
you know, and the week leading up to, we had, I mean, it was amazing. All these different people came to practice. Tommy Lasorda, the former Dodger manager, came to practice.
All these guys to talk to the team.
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas.
It was amazing. It was such a great
dinner of champions. Chris Farley and Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
It was fantastic.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Coach, how'd you know Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Well, you got them
all.
I have
a connection. I have my connections.
Oh,
Pittsburgh guy.
Wow.
And that was after just coming back from Japan. So we came back from, you know, Tokyo, and the next thing you know. Then,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
I didn't have the connections in Tokyo. I will say that. But we did have somebody in Tokyo took care of us. One of our guys took care of us in Tokyo.
Yes. I can't remember.
I'm trying to think of his name. One of my old buddies in college had some connections over there and took care of us with meals and everything in Tokyo.
We groups of four, and we all went to dinner with an alumni from Wisconsin.
I went with you. Yeah,
that was one of the neatest things.
I was with Cyril Reams.
Yeah.
So
Mike Verstegen.
We're in Tokyo, and we contacted an alum from Tokyo, and we assigned four players per couple, and they were responsible to take them for a night for dinner. Some took them home, some took them to restaurants. It was different. Everyone was different. Everyone came back. It was every kid that I talked to, every one of my players that I talked to, talked about what a great experience it was.
Coach, we're sitting here reminiscing, right, about experiences, really truly just memorable experiences. And, you know, in today's college football with transfer portal, NIL, you know, and really to the point where they don't want to even play in bowl games. You know, and that's really, I mean, to me, it's a shame. And it's disheartening because we're sitting here, Tarek, you and I, 50 years old, and all of our teammates, And we will never – we will cherish those memories forever. And our families know that too.
Derek, and I will tell you this. The thing that I always want as a player, as a young kid, growing up in a small little town in western Pennsylvania, a little mining town, I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to play in bowl games because I watched them all the time. That's why I went to Nebraska. And we went to bowl games every year. And – I wanted to go to bowl games as a coach. I wanted to go, and I wanted to reward the players. I want, and you guys knew this, I would do if we're in El Paso, Texas, we're going to have the best time, and I'm going to find out from my friends from El Paso what can we do for my players. And I'm going to have the players experience El Paso and everything that they have down there and make it a good experience. If you go to the Rose Bowl, it's the same way. So and they tell the other guys, the young guy, oh God, you got to go to a bowl game with coach cuz he's going to take care of you. That's all part of the plan.
All right. How much time we have on this earth, right? It's who you spend the time with, right? Derek, we win the lottery, we're getting a jet and we're going to spend time with the people that we love. Is that a fair statement? And we're going to make memories.
All right, I don't know how much time we have left on this earth, but I know we're out of time for this segment.
Hey, when Ted can come on our jet, Tarek, that will be the day.
As long as there's the plane, we will have fun.
All right, final thoughts on Penn State coming up next. This is the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Wisconsin.
That ain't my truck in her drive, and this ain't my day.
Badgers are on a three-game win streak, and they are 6.5-point underdogs. They take on number 3, Penn State, the Nittany Lions. I'm Alex Gratt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, Coach Barry Alvarez, and Dave Nissenbaum. And Coach, this is
Epstein.
Epstein, apparently, is what we call in, which that name did not age.
Welcome back,
well.
Cotter.
Cotter, there we go.
We can thank Coach McCartney.
He says Carter. Like, come on. You should
Cotter.
Do your homework. You're a millennial. You
texted me that Dave was joining the show at 3 p.m. today.
It's actually below the – what's after the millennial?
I don't know.
Something else.
No, I'm on the cutoff. I'm the cutoff here for Gen Z millennials.
Gen Z.
I'm actually just a black-eyed pea. That's the running bit.
Got it.
Coach, this isn't the first time we've played at number 3 Penn State. What was your experience playing Penn State when they were the number 3 team in the nation?
Love to play Penn State. I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Always like to go back there and play. Loaded with they're really and always have been a very talented team. And but that doesn't mean that you can't beat them. You know, so the thing is, you have to convince your team that you can beat them, and this is how you beat them. And I'm not sure, you know, what our guys will tell them. But this is a team that I think if we play well, get after them, then we can beat this team.
All right, everyone, we've got about a minute. I want to hear your one thought, your one thing that the Badgers can do to win this game. We're going to start with you, Coach, because I think I know what it is.
Run the ball.
All right. Dave.
Our offensive and defensive line has to get penetration.
Offense?
Don't want offensive line.
We
don't want to give any penetration from the
defensive line. Offensive line needs a push. That's why I'm not a coach. Our offensive line needs a push. We need to push.
Tarek?
Do we do, but win the turnover battle.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
And
I'm 100% agreement. Turnover margin. I think we keep playing defense like the way we can and the way we have, actually. I think we're going to be right there because I believe in this offensive line. I think we're going to control it up front. I really, truly do. But we cannot have miscues. Not in this game.
Our crowd has to get
there,
in this
that's,
game.
That's the exclamation
And then we will
point.
Impose our will on them.
We need
you. Better be ready.
Hey, let's student go. Section, fire we
up.
Need you.
We need to
I mean,
impose our
if
will
I was
them.
If I was Coach Bickle, I'd be
soul.
On Langdon.
Take
I'd be going
soul.
Down. I would literally, I'd be, I'd be taking ads out. I mean, are you kidding me? Get them down there just like Western Michigan. Western Michigan, that was a primetime game. We're going to get them there even earlier for Penn State.
Ambush them.
My daughter's a sophomore. I'm going to make sure her and her friends get after it.
All right.
UW Badgers. Let's go take their souls. We take on Penn State, a 6.5-point underdogs this Saturday. Badgers by a billion.
It is Halloween.
This has been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.